You are listening to audio from Redeemer Church in Midland, Texas. Redeemer Church is a gospel-centered missional family. If you would like to get more information or donate to this ministry, please visit www.redeemermidland.org.
Why don't y'all stay standing just for a moment? Let me read our scripture for this morning. Scripture reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, and God's word says this: "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and you long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you, we need you, we thank you, we belong to you, we praise you. I want to bow our knees and lend our ears to your Spirit this morning as you teach us your word. God, I pray that you might deliver us. God, set us free to the type of life and joy and peace that you have created us for. Father, I know a lot of people brought some burdens and hurts and baggage into this room this morning, so I pray that you might meet them right where they are at. God, even in their loneliness, even in their fear, that you might meet them. And each one of us, speak very specifically to us, that you might lead us to Jesus and help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. I'm so grateful for this new year. I'm so grateful for this church and for these brothers and sisters that are in this room and that are joining us online. Father, we love you. We pray that you would fill us up today with your Spirit. Fill us up this year to be salt and light in the world that needs the gospel and the hope of Christ. And we pray all these things together, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. Y'all grab a seat. It's so good to see you this morning. Welcome to 2021 and welcome to Redeemer. I'm so glad to have a new year. For those of you who are in the room, really excited that you're here. For those of you who are joining online, we're so honored and so blessed that you are tuning in from the safety of your home or couch or pajamas, wherever that might be. We're honored that you're here. If you are online, we'd love for you to drop us a little note in the chat and let us know where you are joining us from. It's a new year, same identity as a church. We have the same mission. And so every year, this is now the fifth year, I believe, that we get to begin the year unpacking what the vision is and what the identity really is of Redeemer Church. We planted the church publicly in January of 2016, and so every year to kick off the year at the beginning, I just give a quick reminder of who we are as a church, and if you've been around any length of time, you need to nail this, okay? We are a gospel-centered, missional family. Those are not just things that we put on the website. Those actually drive everything that we do and everything that we are. Our identity as a church, we're gospel-centered. That everything we do, all the activities that we have centered around the identity of Jesus, his finished work on the cross, on our behalf, in our place, reconciling us to God. The gospel of Jesus is the epicenter of our identity and our activity. We're a gospel-centered people. We are also a missional people. That means we have a mission to accomplish, some things that God has given us to do, a task that Jesus has handed us to accomplish, and we take that seriously. Amen? Like, we want to see people in Midland come to faith, become Christians, be set free to worship and to love, to honor and to serve Jesus. We want to have the ability to plant churches throughout the West Texas, throughout New Mexico, and throughout the world. We believe that God has a mission to cover the globe with worshipers of Jesus, and the missionaries are called Christians. Every Christian is a missionary. Does that mean everybody needs to go overseas to an unreached people group or to China or to Africa? No, but if you want to go, this is a great year to go. We will send you as soon as they open it back up and we can get on planes and go places. We will send you. We love sending people across the world, but we also love sending people across the street. As Charles Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. We believe that. Every Christian has a mission to accomplish. And we're also a family. I hope that if you're brand new to Redeemer, maybe you've been coming for a short season, or maybe you haven't visited in person yet, you've connected with us online. I want you to know that there's a lot more to church than just having a service to attend and sitting shoulder to shoulder with strangers, that we truly believe that we are a family. And a big expression of that for us is small groups, where we love each other, we encourage each other, we take care of one another, because the gospel in its fullest sense includes relationality that we're going to be talking about today. So if we're a gospel-centered missional family, the three big components that we talk about all the time are the gospel, community, and mission. And so every year, we start out the year talking about those things, and this year, this is how it's going to go. Today and next Sunday, we've got a little mini-series that we're dealing with community and some relational things that pertain to the gospel and to God's people. And then we have 2 weeks that we will be looking at mission, and then we have the rest of the year that we are going to be walking through the book of Romans so that we can learn very in-depth just all the facets of the gospel. A lot of people, both Christians and non-Christians, would say that Paul's work in the book of Romans is one of the, if not the greatest, literary piece that has ever been put out to the human race. It is the gospel, and really the Bible condensed to one book. So I am super excited about 2021. I hope that you are too. 2020 is over. It is in the rearview mirror, and so that's where we are headed. So with all that, let's get started. Community. Probably like you, one of my big goals for 2021 was to get some pack goats. Anybody else? I was in the backcountry in Arizona elk hunting a few weeks ago, a few months ago, and just miles from a trailhead, and ran into this guy that had some pack goats. I don't know if you know what pack goats are, but they are awesome, and you should know about them, and you should get one. If you have a backyard, you won't even have to mow anymore if you get some pack goats. They're basically these awesome goats that act like children, almost like dogs. Like, they come up, you scratch them behind their ears, you get them when they're really small kids, you raise them, you bottle feed them. They're very social animals, and they get old enough and big enough and strong enough that you can actually put a little pack on their back, and they can carry 50 to 60 pounds to help you, for all of you who just love to get into the backcountry. And so I was like, oh, this is great. I need some pack goats. So I got the name of the guy that he bought his pack goats from in Kansas, and I call him. I said, man, I need a pack goat. And laid out my plan to get this four-week-old goat. My kids are going to bottle feed it and raise it and hug it and snuggle it. And then I won't have to get a dog, because they've been lobbying for a dog for a long time. And so I'm just going to tell them, this is a dog. It just has horns. And so I call this guy. He's like, no, I can't. I won't. And I can't just sell you one goat. He says, because they are a herd animal. They do not do well alone. They have to have other goats, or they're not going to be healthy. And I said, that's very helpful to know. I don't know if I'm ready to bite off and chew two different goats. So I kind of hit pause on the pack goats. I'll keep you updated if we do get those. But it was interesting to me for him to say that they're a herd animal. They don't do well by themselves. And as we move forward into the future and think about 2021, I think it's helpful for us to learn from the past. How many of y'all remember 2020? How many of you have already wiped it from your memory once and for all? It's dead to you. I think if we're gonna walk forward in a healthy way, we don't need to live in the past, but we do need to learn from the past. And I honestly think that one of the things that I think and I hope that we learned in 2020 is that we are a herd animal. We're maybe a pack animal, right? We travel in packs. That it is not good for us to be alone and to be isolated and to be quarantined from other human beings for a long extended period of time. It does some things to us that is unhealthy, because God designed us for relationships, designed us for community with others. You find that in the very nature of God Himself. The opening pages of the Bible reveal that creation is not there yet. Humanity has not been created yet. But you find out that God is a relational God, because He exists as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in perfect community with one another. And they say in Genesis, let us, plural community, make man in our own image and after our own likeness. And so we bear the image of a relational God, so we are a herd animal that just by ourselves, we don't do well. We don't function well. There's some big costs to isolation. And we've talked about this quite a bit over the years, but Americans, we're kind of plagued with loneliness anyway. Before 2020 happened, the Surgeon General said, before there was a COVID pandemic, the Surgeon General said in the United States there was a loneliness epidemic. That was his words, that the culture that we have created, that all the good things, right, that come from being an individualistic society, and we're Texans, amen? Like, we just had our birthday. This was a couple weeks ago. We celebrated the birthday of when the rest of the United States got to join Texas, right? Like, we have this love for being individualistic and pulling ourselves up from our bootstraps, but there's a cost to that that we have found out these last 20 years, that the cost of a rugged individualism is oftentimes a loneliness that breeds a despair and that breeds destruction to human souls. One in five Americans, then, listen to this. This is a study from 2018, right? So this is before everything that we just walked through these last 12 months. One in five in 2018, one in five Americans said that they, quote, feel always or often lonely. And they said that the health problems that come with loneliness or isolation are worse than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Some of you that smoke 15 cigarettes a day, you're like, praise God. So you want to be healthy? Quit smoking, get a couple of good gospel friends, right? There's some deep, deep issues and problems that happen when humanity, when people are isolated or quarantined or alone. One stat I read said that loneliness in our nation is killing more people now than obesity. And this is 2018. So let's kind of factor this into 2020. We have folks that have never dealt with depression or loneliness or anxiety over the course of this last 9 to 10 months, that being separated from people has caused these problems and these feelings to come up that they've never seen. We have had people that even in our church, in this room, that have dealt with those in their past, have put them away, have been really not dealing with some of those issues for a long time, and 2020 resurrected them back up, so they're back on medication. Anxiety is back, depression is back, and I did a very, very scientific study this week. I posted something on my Facebook, and my very scientific information was that loneliness, especially this past year, had some very, very negative effects on people because we're made in the image of God. It's not good for us to be alone. I need to take a little bit of a pause for a moment because I'm not talking about having some seasons and some moments of solitude. I think we would all agree that there's some great benefit to solitude. Jesus himself practiced solitude. Solitude is when you choose to be alone on purpose. But loneliness is often when it's forced upon you, which is what we have walked through and even continue to walk through. So that's my first little caveat is, loneliness and isolation is not the same thing as solitude. Solitude can have some good benefits. Loneliness and isolation can have some very negative things. My second thing that I wanted to say is I need you to give me some grace and when we walk through this, because there's a lot of people, I'm thinking, even if you're joining online, you're thinking, well, you know, I have some underlying conditions and I was exposed to somebody, and we've got some people in our families that we want to protect and to take care of, so wouldn't wisdom warrant that we have some seasons of isolation? And I would say yes. Like, there are some times and some seasons when, out of love for neighbor, out of protection even for yourself, that you might need to choose to isolate, to quarantine. But what I think we need to learn from 2020 moving forward is, at least what I've heard, is all kind of that side of this equation, that out of love and safety we need to be careful, to isolate, to quarantine. But what not many people are talking about is what happens, that there's a cost when we do that. So, can we all agree? Give me some grace and let's just kind of walk through this, that God has designed us for community, and in a really crazy season that's still a little bit crazy, how do we walk forward in a healthy way? Y'all ready? Sound good? Ready or not? Here we go. 1 Thessalonians, if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm actually going to back up and we're going to start in verse 1. Because there's something really profound that takes place when Paul's writing to this church in Thessalonica that he had planted. Paul had landed in Thessalonica, a city there in Asia, and he had preached the gospel, and a lot of people had become Christians, become Jesus followers, repented of their sin, believed in Jesus, wanted to follow him. And then the non-Christians in the city were not real big fans of Paul. In fact, Paul had to kind of go into hiding, and ironically, it was the name of Jason. This guy in town's name was Jason, and he hid in Jason's house until the leaders came to try to accost or to capture Paul, and they snuck Paul out in the middle of the night, and the leaders came and drug Jason to the city council and were questioning him in the middle of this crazy season. They smuggled Paul out of town, and Paul went off to somewhere else and began to preach elsewhere. But this church was birthed in Thessalonica. And Paul had a chance to preach some things and share some things, and then he had to flee the city. And this is the first letter that we have of the Apostle Paul. So the chronological letters of the New Testament, the first one that was penned by the Apostle Paul is 1 Thessalonians. And he's writing it back to this church that he loves in Thessalonica that he was a little bit worried about because there were some difficulties that had hit their city. There were some afflictions and some suffering, and he was worried that they had believed a false gospel that thought, oh my gosh, if things aren't going really well, we must be doing something wrong, or maybe God has abandoned us. And so he was afraid this affliction had caused them to turn away from the gospel. That's the bedrock, that's the foundation for 1 Thessalonians 3. If you're in chapter 3, verse 1, say, ready? If you don't have a Bible, it will be here on the screen for you as well. Paul says this, therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. You already see that this was not a good thing for him to be alone, but he was stuck in Athens. He wanted to go back to Thessalonica. He couldn't, but he couldn't stand it anymore. So it says, verse 2, so we sent Timothy. That was a young ministerial protege of Paul who he was training him to be a pastor and a leader of the gospel movement. So he sent Timothy from Athens back to Thessalonica. He says, when we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in the faith, that no one may be moved by these afflictions. So Paul wanted to make sure that they weren't surprised by difficulties and by afflictions, and that they did not give up following Jesus in the midst of those things. For you yourselves know that we were destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. Another little side note. Paul was in Thessalonica, and he was preparing his people, the Christian church there, for suffering and for afflictions, okay? And some of you, maybe you've kind of tuned into the wrong folks, if you listened to the wrong people online, and they've fed you this kind of false gospel that if you're faithful to Jesus, and you love him enough, and you obey him enough, that you will have health, you will have wealth, you will have no problems. If you have any sickness, it's because of a lack of faith. That's called the prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all, because it contradicts everything Jesus, Paul, and the Bible teach, right? So just a side note, if that's you, I just want you to turn your attention to what Paul said. He said, no, this is something that we're destined for. You need to be prepared for so that when difficulties come, we're not surprised. We don't think it's because of our lack of faith. We trust God. We trust his plan. We trust that he's sovereign, and we move forward still obeying and loving Jesus. Side note for free, I don't know what 2021 might hold, might be better, might be worse. I know this, God is faithful, and even in suffering and affliction, he's good to his people. Amen? Amen? Amen. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction just as it has come to pass and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. So that's the first part of this chapter. Paul's writing from Athens. He was nervous, and so he sent Timothy. Timothy had gone to the city, had already found out what was taking place, had now reported back to Paul. So Paul has a lot of helpful information about how these Christians were responding to life. And so then he writes this letter. Verse 6, But now that Timothy has come to us from you, so Timothy has returned and has brought us the good news of your faith. How many of you grew up in church, and when you were in church as a kid, you would go to Sunday school or to Bible study, and they had the chart? Anybody have the chart when you were growing up where you got the gold stars? If you brought your Bible, you got a gold star. If you brought a friend, you got a gold star. If you memorized your verse, you got a gold star. If you tucked your shirt in, you got a gold star. I didn't get a lot of gold stars in that category. Anybody else have that chart? I had that chart when I was little, and let's just imagine that Paul had a chart there in Athens, and it's the church in Thessalonica, and he just starts running off, and Timothy comes back. He's like, these guys are rocking it. They're doing so well. They got a lot of gold stars. This is what he says. The good news of your faith. Oh, faith, gold star. They had a lot of faith. They believed Jesus was who he said he was. They believed the word of God. They trusted God. They had a lot of faith. Faith, gold star. And love, that's a big deal, right? It's a big deal for a church to be full of love. They loved the Lord Jesus. They loved each other. You get to the second row on their chart, and it's like, oh, big gold star for the Thessalonians in love. And it says, and they reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, gold star. And for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. Were they standing fast in the Lord in the midst of difficulty and affliction and suffering? Yes, gold star. This is a healthy church. They're doing some things really well. For now we live, if you're standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God. And here it is, verse 10. Don't miss this. Paul, having got the news back from Timothy, man, they are rocking it. This church has so many things going well. Gold star, gold star, gold star. And as we pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. So Paul gets this information back and he's like, oh my gosh, they have so many things going for them, but there was something lacking in their faith. And this faith is not just what they believed about God. This faith is like the sum package total of their faith, their Christianity. There was something missing from their faith that could not be accomplished by information. Did y'all see that? This week is the first time that I have caught this. It was not information, or Paul could have fixed what was lacking in their faith by pen and ink and sending another letter. He says that something that's lacking in their faith can only be fixed. What does it say? Everybody say this: face to face. He says, I want to come see you face to face so that I can fill up what is lacking in your faith. And it wasn't informational. They were rocking it with faith. They were rocking it with love. They were standing fast. They didn't lack any of those things. There was something lacking that was not informational, but relational. Right? They weren't lacking in information. They were lacking in relationship. Otherwise, Paul could have fixed it with pen and with ink. 2 John, verse 12, the Apostle John says the same thing. And you're going to see this theme of people and Christians. A segment of our faith includes relationship. It includes face-to-face relationships with other people, that if you remove that component, which for many of us, 2020 has removed that component, then Paul and John would say there's something lacking, like you're missing something. 2 John verse 12, the Apostle John says this, though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and to talk face to face so that our joy might be complete. Y'all see that? Like there's something even with joy that can't be completed with just information. Information is a good thing, but just information leaves the faith lacking. John says, I want to fill up your joy by seeing you face to face. Paul says, I want to fill up and supply what's lacking in your faith by being face to face. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And I think, I was looking back in my notes, I think we have talked about this verse every January the last 5 years, because this is a picture of the first church. In Acts chapter 2, you have the people that responded to Peter's message, and there was 3,000 people baptized in Jerusalem that day, and boom, you have the very first local church. What was that church devoted to, and how did they respond to the gospel of the resurrection? Glad you asked. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's information. Right? They're like, we're devoted to information. We want to know what the apostles taught. What did they say? We want to believe it. We want to memorize it. We want to obey it. We want to talk about it in our small groups, house to house. It says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and what? Fellowship. Like, they were devoted to information and relationships. And I grew up Southern Baptist, so for me, that word fellowship always was just kind of congruent with casserole, right? If there's a 13 by 9 dish and if there's a lot of cheese on top, boom, you have fellowship. The word apparently in the Greek is much deeper and stronger than that. They were devoted to each other. And you could read into it. I don't think this is a stretch for them to say the first church in Jerusalem that was pastored by the people who were discipled personally by Jesus for 3 years were devoted to information and relation. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to the actual people that belonged to the church. They were a gospel-centered missional family. And so for us, here's one of the challenges in kind of the information age that we live in, and even the opportunities, all the great opportunities that we have through podcast and through Zoom and through live streaming to get the message out to people that need it, to get the message out to people that can't join us in person. There's some really good things that have come with that, but there are also some potential downfalls that we need to be aware of. Because there's a tendency, I don't know if you know this or not, but I think you would agree with me. In the United States, there's sometimes a tendency to think Christianity is 100% about information. That as long as we listen to enough podcasts, and as long as we live stream, and as long as we read our Bible, which has kind of been the story of a lot of people in 2020, that we got all the right information, but I heard, listen, from so many people that they said, we had all the right information, but something was lacking, something was missing. I don't know what it was, and here's what Paul would say. What was missing was being face-to-face. Information is not the sum total of what it means to be a Christian. It's not the sum total of the faith. That if you remove relationship and deep community and being face to face with other humans, then Paul says there's something lacking. I can't fix it with a podcast. I can't fix it with pen and ink. It has to be face to face. Like, information is supposed to lead us to relationship. 2005, fall of 2005 was when I met the prettiest girl I've ever seen. And I was working at Dallas Baptist University, and she went walking through my office, and there was a girl that worked with me named Dara Adeyemi. Dara was legitimately a Nigerian princess. And I remember asking Dara, I was like, Dara, who was that? She said, oh, that was Hannah Harper. I said, I need some information on Hannah Harper. And so Dara says, you should try this new thing called Facebook. And I'm like, that sounds stupid. She explains to me how Facebook works, that you have to have an email. Do y'all remember this? You have to have an email, like a college email. I'm like, well, that's not ever going to work. Nobody's going to sign up for that. But I need some information on this girl. So I signed up. She's the reason that I had Facebook, that I got it, so that I could stalk her politely, very Christianly stalk her and find out information, because she was always a step ahead of me. She was already on Facebook, so I got Facebook and I started stalking her. This is when there was like 400 people, right, on Facebook. And I got all the information that was on Facebook. And what did I do with that information? Did I be like, oh my gosh, praise God, I got the information that I need? No, because what? Information should lead to relationship. I had enough information. I was like, okay, I need to ask her out on a date. I need to marry her. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. This didn't all happen in that moment right in my office. But I had enough information. I was like, I'm not going to be satisfied until we have a relationship, until we're married, until she's living in my house and we're having kids, because information is not the end in and of itself. Like, if you have information about God, that's not enough. Like, if you know some things about Jesus, you know some things that he did, you know some things that he said, you know some promises that he made, that's not enough. That's good. That is a good start, but that is supposed to lead you into what? A relationship. Why? Because we were made in the image of God, who is at his core. He's relational. It is not good for man to be alone. Information, which has been kind of the danger of this last season that we're in, is to be devoid of face-to-face interaction, community, and relationship with somebody, even with great information, accurate theology, which we are all about. The purpose of all that is to lead us to a relationship. Some people ask Jesus, what's the most important information? What are the most important things that we need to know or do, talking about the commands in the Bible? And Jesus summed them up, and both things that he said were not informational, but they were relational. He said, this is the sum total of the commands of God. To love, that's a relational term. Not to know some things about God, but to love God and to love your neighbor. That's the goal, the chief end of man, is to worship God, to glorify him forever, to have a relationship with him, and to have a relationship with others. So, I think according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, that if in this last season you have realized that you had good information and you're consuming the right things, you're learning, you're studying, you're growing, but you felt like there was something missing, or maybe you've joined us online, you have been able to connect with us or another church, and you've learned some things, you've grown in some ways, but you still feel like there's something missing or there's something lacking, Paul would say that's not because there's something wrong with you. Paul would say that's because you were designed by God to be part of a church. A church is a family that adds that missing component. It's face-to-face with other people who are walking through difficulties, who are learning to follow Jesus, who are being patient with one another. So I want to tease this out for just a moment about what this means for us. So the Imago Dei, the image of God, is that he is a relational being. We were made in his image, and it's not good for man to be alone. We are a herd animal, like pack goats, and Jesus designed, when he starts rolling out his plan for humanity, he says that there's the good news that he's died in our place for our sins so that we might be reconciled to God, and he says, I am going to build a church, an ecclesia, a gathering or a family of people. He didn't just say he's going to roll out a bunch of pamphlets and information. Like, at the core of Jesus' plan for Christians, listen, don't miss this in the United States in a digital age, at the core of Jesus' plan for the world and for Christians is for us to belong to one another in relationships. That's what Paul says. He's going to add up what's lacking by being face to face. So there's a way in which there's something lacking until we have true relationship and fellowship with God and true, deep, intimate relationships with one another. Next week, we're going to dive deep into just the good, the bad, and the ugly of actually living life together and doing community, because while it's beautiful and it's necessary, it can also be difficult. Amen? Have y'all ever met another human being? It can be tricky because we're all sinful, we're all damaged goods, so we're going to really dive in next week to see exactly what the Bible has to say about how we live life together. So, the beginning of this year, 2021, here's what I want to lay before you, knowing that we're designed by God to need relationship with him and relationships with others, is to focus this year on relationships. And I truly believe that the sum total, really, of your life and how joyful your life is has to do primarily with relationships. First and foremost, your relationship with the Lord Jesus himself. And then secondly, your relationship with others. Everything else, health, job, money, fitness, can come and go, but the quality of your life will be determined by the quality of your relationships. So if you're into making some New Year's resolutions and making some goals, then make relational goals at the top. It's better to have six friends than a six-pack. Amen? Some of you are like, I just needed to hear that today. I can eat a donut. Praise God. Friends, all right? Let's start with that. Friends. We were designed to have deep gospel friendships. The Old Testament says, as one man sharpens another, or as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, that there's a deep encouragement, there's a deep courage that we get from others as we want to follow Jesus. We can't do it alone, so invest in friendships, gospel friendships. If you don't have any, if you're a new Christian or new to Midland, join one of our community groups and get some good, deep friends that you can be honest with, and they can be honest with you. Marriages have been stressed out this past many months. We have been overwhelmed with the marriages that have been walking through counseling. And one, praise God that we're willing to walk through counseling. If your marriage needs help, reach out. Get somebody to help walk you through, navigate through. How do you deal with these difficulties maybe that you have been feeling and experiencing? But invest in your marriage. That's an important relationship to keep intact. We've got some classes coming this year to pour the gospel into your marriage. Kids, for a lot of us, the children have been in our house more than normal. Praise God this last year. What an opportunity to disciple our kids. One of the things that we believe as a church is that the primary discipler of children is the parents. That God has put the mantle of leadership on the mom and the dad to disciple their kids, to teach them what the Bible says, who Jesus is, how to follow Him, how to read their Bible. What relationship with you and your kids to invest in them and to help them follow Jesus, the church. Acts 2 says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers. And it says they met together in the temple and they broke bread in each other's houses day to day. There was a communal aspect of the early church where they came much like this. They would come together and they would sing, they would worship, they would take the Lord's Supper together, but then they would meet together in small groups in homes. This is why we do community groups. We're trying to give an outlet for what the church has been all along, that if you remove that relational component, there's something lacking. I'm asking for you, Redeemer, to invest your life in your community group. Is it going to be difficult? Everybody say yes. Is it going to be worth it? Everybody say yes. If you have the time and the buffer in your life, invest in one, give into one, because if you're giving into it, somebody else is going to be the recipient of it. And this is has been our encouragement all along for 5 years, to just give your life away to others in a small group, face to face, because as Americans, we're tempted to think, I just want to kind of go and get, and I don't need anything right now. And if I don't need community, I've got some friends, then it kind of removes the whole other side of the equation that maybe you're there for somebody else. Sometimes, like, I don't know, I'm not walking through anything horrible. Life's been kind of great. I'm kind of nervous to say this, but 2020 for us, it was great. But we had to show up because that wasn't the same story for a lot of people. So maybe everything in your life is going well, and so you need to just be there because somebody else's world is crashing down around them. So we all go to give, we all go to take. That's a healthy family. All right, a healthy family, everybody gives, everybody receives. That's how it works. A healthy community group, everybody gives, everybody takes. I'm asking you in 2021 to be deeply devoted. That's the word that described the early church. Not like half-hearted, devoted. Everybody say devoted. That's a deep word. I don't use that word to describe every relationship that I have. I'm not devoted to the kids down the street. Like, I'm devoted to my wife, to my kids. I'm devoted to this church, to you. That's the word that described the relationship the early church had face to face. They were devoted to one another. What about when it was hard? Devoted. What about when that person's difficult to love? Devoted. What about when they had a lot going on and their schedule was full and the kids were playing games and you have to be at practice and you're tired? What about they were devoted to one another? And what happened? Listen, I share this every month that we have a covenant partner class that we want to be a people devoted to community, because what happened when the early church was devoted to this face-to-face relationship, breaking bread in homes? You keep reading in Acts 2, it says people were added to the church every day. Why? Because Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your what? Information? No, he said, by your love for one another. But by the way that we love each other face to face, a lot of people, I pray, in Midland are going to be confronted with the reality that Jesus is, in fact, who he said he is, that he does, in fact, do what he says he can do. We're going to be devoted to the church, and the way that we're devoted to a church is by the gathering together, much like this, Acts chapter 2, going to the temple day by day, worshiping together, and being devoted to living life face-to-face in homes, breaking bread. Last but not least, last but most, to be devoted relationally to God. And that sounds so simple, but very easily we can make our faith or our relationship with God almost primarily informational. And I hope you hear from me, information is important, okay? Good theology is utterly important, but it is designed to lead us into a relationship, a true relationship with God through Christ. Because I want to read to you this last thing in 1 Corinthians 13, where this is all going. Like right now, we're living by faith. We believe in a Jesus that we have never seen. We have a relationship with him through the Holy Spirit that is in us by faith. But the day is coming when all this is going to culminate and have a climax in something. And this is how Paul describes it. This is the climax for the Christian. Okay, if you're a Christian, this is your climax. If you're not a Christian, this can be, if you'll respond to the gospel. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we normally hear at weddings because it's talking about love, but Paul says this, "For now," talking about this life on earth by faith, "we see in a mirror dimly." Meaning we can make some images out, and we know some big macro things, but there are just some details that we just don't know or we can't quite see clearly. "For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then," what? What does it say? "But then, face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even as I have been fully known." The purpose of humanity is for you to see God, like God, the maker of heaven and earth, face to face. Don't settle for just good theology. Let good theology lead you into a relationship that's going to culminate one day with you seeing the risen, living Jesus Christ face to face. To face. You're just going to be standing right in front of him and witness his face and take it in the relationship. That's the culmination of all of this. Face to face with one another adds something that's lacking in your faith, but the point of it all is for us to see Jesus Christ face to face. If you're not a believer, here's the invitation for you. Is to gather the information, right? To learn the gospel that Jesus said that he was dying as the perfect substitute in the place of sinners so that we might be saved and forgiven and reconciled to God once and for all relationally by grace through faith. So your response to that information is relational. That you respond by relationally, you confessing your sin to God, asking him to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to forgive you, to change you. And then he brings you and adopts you and puts you into a family. We call it a church where we love each other and we take care of each other and we serve one another and we pray for one another and we forgive one another on this journey until we see Jesus Christ face to face. Let's pray. Jesus, God, now we operate by faith. God, we see so many things through a mirror dimly that we're missing little pieces of information. We don't know exactly how things will look. But God, I pray that you would help us to long for the day that we don't walk by faith anymore. We will walk by sight. We'll see you, Jesus, face to face. We will behold God in the person of Christ. God, give us the faith to believe that today. Father, I pray that you might, in this year, in 2021, help us to grow in our relationship with you, to know you, to know your heart, to love you, to pray to you, to listen to you, to talk with you, to walk with you. And God, I pray that you might help us grow in our relationships with one another. Father, repair the broken marriages, God, that are in this room or online. God, I pray that your Spirit might fill them up and bring joy and healing and forgiveness and peace to the marriages that are struggling. Father, I pray that you might deepen and grow the relationship of parents to kids. Jesus, you yourself said that when the gospel comes forth, it will turn the hearts of children back to their fathers and fathers back to their children. God, I pray that you would do that, that you would mend that relationship, and God, that fathers and mothers would truly teach and disciple and model their children how to walk after Jesus. Father, I pray for the friendships, God, that you would deepen those friendships where they truly are relationships where we sharpen one another and we encourage one another and we keep each other going. God, I'm so grateful for this church. Help us to truly be a gospel-centered, missional family. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Redeemer Church. If you want to connect with us at Redeemer, we would love for you to visit us at a service in person or visit us online at www.redeemermidland.org.